can handle the truth.
It's the end of time, and the Mississippi River, she's a going dry. The interest is up and the stock market's down, and you're only getting mugged if you go downtown. I live back in the woods, you see, a woman and the kids and the dogs and me. I got a shotgun, a rifle, and a four-wheel drive, and a country boy can survive.
We're back, folks.
Country folks can survive.
And the time is flying here. We already went through our first hour. I'm in the middle of a tweet from the president, and this tweet, it exemplifies everything we love about Donald Trump and that is great about him. This tweet is just 2 hours ago, and he does this over and over and over again. He does it constantly. He's like any of the really greatest people who've ever lived, like a Beethoven. Beethoven was incapable of writing a false note. Everything he touched was absolute beauty in music. It's the nature of extreme genius. Donald Trump has that. He's not a musician. He's something even more important. He's a great, great leader. And the let me finish this tweet. Silly to call it a tweet, isn't it? It's a message from the president. Steve Scalise, the congressman from Louisiana, blew the nasty and obnoxious Chris Wallace away on Chris's lowest rated morning show. This kind of dumb and unfair interview would never have happened in the Fox News past. Great job, Steve. Now, you see how the president weighed in on that? He gave a smackdown to Chris. Chris Wallace will never recover from that. Donald Trump said, look, this guy over here, this punk, Chris Wallace, enemy. Enemy of the people. So what he labeled the press, an enemy of the people. Are there some enemies of the people in Fox News? You bet. You bet. Chris Wallace, you're one of them. He does everything he can to insert the knife between the ribs. Chris Wallace does. He's not like Joe Scarborough and Chris Cuomo. These dirt balls are more honest than Chris Wallace because they start their showing basically with a sign across their forehead saying, I hate Donald Trump. Truth in advertising. Chris Wallace, he pretends to be part of the Patriots at Fox. He's not. He's a deceiver. He's just as evil and more because he's a deceiver. The great tweet from the president. And what he's doing is, he's building that movement. We're going to, we go back to Richard in Washington's great question. What is the solution? I think, folks, we're doing it now. Let's put it this way. No wondering about this. We're doing it right now. With Donald Trump in the lead, he just gave us that message, which went to 66.8. Let's look at his number now. How many millions of people got that message in their inbox? He got 66.8 million people. None of us have any reach, anything like that, or greatness like that. He identified an enemy to the whole team. So what he's doing, he's building a media team. These guys over here, he said, great job. It's all right in that tweet, isn't it? He gave a pat on the back to Steve Scalise for being a patriot, a real man with balls. And then he pointed over to Chris Wallace in the other chair and said, there's the enemy. So that's an incredible performance of a leader, elevating those, you know, in among our ranks who are doing well, like Steve Scalise, and then focusing the spotlight on the enemy. Very good. Let's go to it. Let me hit refresh here on this. A thought that occurred to me during the break. Maybe one of you could come up with a more articulate way of saying it. But I talk about before Trump, during Trump, and after Trump. BT, AT, BT, DT, and AT. We're during Trump right now. We're living during the time of Trump, the Trump era. Before he came down the escalator, Donald Trump was just like the rest of us. He wasn't a leader. I mean, he was a great man and a leader and had great ideas, but he was, you know, he was holding back a little bit. And it was that trip down the escalator with Melania that was, he was throwing himself into the battle, getting up on his horse, putting his hat on and charging. And that was before Trump. And boy, were we in desperate shape before Trump. Now we're during Trump. These guys, these clowns, these punks like Chris Wallace, what is their game? Their game is this. You can see it. Chris Wallace is counting on defeating Donald Trump and our movement so that he'll have a career after Trump. That's all he's thinking about, is after we dispose of Trump, after we impeach him or destroy him or discourage him or wear him down or, destroy his health. You know, we'll find a way to destroy him. And then I, Chris Wallace, the snake, the piece of crud, I'll have my glorious career back. I'll be Mr. Big. Anderson Cooper will invite me to his parties. And Chris Cuomo and Chuck Schumer, they'll all be my friends. Let's go to another call here. I can hear somebody trying to talk there. Is that Mike in Kentucky?
It is, it is. I've got the sniffles. But going back to how you opened up the show, it only took about 11 minutes for me to try to respond. I'd like to say let's not count out, dismiss, or ignore all of the folks that are of different, you know, backgrounds, ethnic groups, whatever, that support Donald Trump. I mean, it's not just honky white America.
I'm with you. Go ahead. I want you to expand on that thought, and I just want to let you know I agree with you completely, is that there's no place in what we're doing in being proud of being Europeans, okay? The other side, our enemies, the enemy of the people, they want you to think that being proud of your family is somehow racist. It's not, folks. And let me assure you that everybody on earth, name any ethnicity, they're proud and naturally proud. It's baked in the cake. It's Mother Nature. Everybody is proud of him or herself. And they're proud of their family and of their parents and of their children. They're intensely proud. And thank God, that's the way it should be. Every parent should be proud of his or her children and their parents. And they should honor all of that, honor their parents and their tradition, their language, their culture, everything. So, of course, I'm preaching to the choir, Mike. You know this as well as I do. Is that we as white people have been made to feel ashamed that we are somehow doing wrong if we're proud of ourselves. And I say to that, bullshit. No, that's not wrong. That's what everybody does. And that's natural and that's right. And what, folks, when you have been made ashamed of being white, you have just been castrated. All right? And your voice should have gone up 2 octaves. Because that's exactly what that process is. You're being turned into a non-man, and for a woman, the same thing. You're being turned into a non-woman, and you've been neutered. So, what I'm saying is yes, and all those people that support the idea. Now, Mike, you've led into a great point. there is a person who's been on TV on some of the good shows on Fox in the last couple of days named Richard Lowry, Rich Lowry, L-O-W-R-Y. And he's the editor of National Review. Now, he was a never-Trumper, and his magazine was full-on never-Trumper. They were waging war against Donald Trump. But Rich Lowry did a turnaround. And I heard the interview, asked him, what turned you around? And he said it was Donald Trump's first inaugural speech. He said that speech caused me to realize that nationalism is right. And then Rich Lowry defines nationalism as being proud of what you are, proud of your family, and willing to die for your family. You know, what is a good man? What is the man that every woman wants? The man who will, you know, what woman wants a man who won't, you know, beat the hell out of home invaders? What woman wants to have anything to do with a man that won't protect her? Or even worse, won't protect her children? Get that guy out of my sight, says every woman who ever was born. So that's a man who's willing to protect his family and provide for his family and go to work in the middle of the night, go to work in freezing weather, be a lineman at minus 30 degrees in North Dakota in January and do it every 5 days a week. Why? To take care of his family. And that's nationalism. That's defending your people. Now, to get to your point, which is a good one, Mike, that doesn't involve hating other people. What's his name? The sheriff in Milwaukee. Is it David Clark? Black man. I love him. I love the way he spoke for Donald Trump. Ben Carson. Great man. Black man. In the president's cabinet. You can have, of course, great people who aren't white are great people. And they can be nationalists, and I can love them. And that's actually a sincere kind of love and friendship. The demon rats, they don't love these Rainbow Coalition people. They don't love all these people. These are haters. They hate you. They hate me. Chuck Schumer doesn't love black people. He doesn't love other. Nancy Pelosi doesn't love other races. You know, she's not some superior person. She's a piece of work. She's a hater. It's all over her face. Adam Schiff isn't capable of love of anybody. I feel sorry for anybody that's in Adam Schiff's family. But we can't cede the moral high ground, Mike. And you're right. We cannot come across as haters. And everything that's in, everybody who's ever tried to send out some message of hate has been trying to make a lead balloon fly. It won't fly. Our people are lovers. The European race is the most friendly, welcoming, beautiful group of people. And that's been used against us. So we have to have a message. And this is part of the Donald Trump phenomenon. Donald Trump has sent out a message of love, and there are lots of people in those rallies, Mike. It's overwhelmingly white. The support the Trump movement is overwhelmingly white, but the black people, the brown people, the yellow people, the red people that are in there with the white people, they love Donald Trump for the same reasons that we love him. Now, go ahead, Mike.
Well, women, I think some women are really good at math, and I want to bring up a point about women and math, but I would say something as a cyclist and, you know, people that like to walk, they've really done a good job making these races, the governor's races so close in Louisiana and Kentucky. One of the nice things about Democrats winning these races is that, you know, if you like to walk these quiet roads out to the cemeteries and back, yeah, they'll be graveled and blacktop because that's where a lot of their constituents are.
Okay, that went right over my head, Mike. You have to explain that to me.
Well, dead people voting.
Went right over. Oh, dead people voting. Okay. Oh yeah.
And they make it look so close, you know, but as far as the influence on these elections, I think the big smelly elephant in the room here has come out in the last few weeks. I heard on Christian radio back about, I think it was, October the 11th, Sandy Rios had Zach Voorhees on, the Google whistleblower, with his, non-existent blacklist that shows downranking of conservatives in their search results. I've experienced that myself, and also on Facebook. I've got dozens of megabytes of slides where I've run across their techniques being used on me to try to squash me,
Oh, yeah. It's a war. It's a war, Mike. And you know, this is one of the things that Donald Trump has done, is he has educated us. And he's finding out himself, too. I'm not saying Donald Trump, sprang forth from the head of Zeus, fully formed with all of his ideas. And, he's a perfect man, and he's always been perfect, and he was born that way. No, he's learning, just as you and I are learning. And you can see that in the trajectory of his presidency. He's gotten better. He's learned a lot. He's learned a lot of the enemy's tricks and their nastiness by being the recipient of it. But so Donald Trump is, we are learning along with our president, we are learning the hard way that this is a war. And as you say, yeah, dirty tricks, nastiness, downranking you, manipulating, lying, cheating, stealing, murdering. It doesn't, they'll do anything. Now we have a slight constraint.
One of the tricks here in Kentucky was, they took, I forget how many it was. It was some huge amount, hundreds of thousands of voters off the inactive list and put them back on the active list. And it helped to show a little bit lower turnout rate here in Kentucky than maybe would have because, hundreds of thousands were put back on the voter list that could have showed up and signed their name. Here in this college town where I'm at, a lot of college youngsters got jumped in to vote in the Kim Davis election because, and before that. But, they wanted to get rid of Kim Davis for being a hater, not wanting to sign the marriage licenses. But, other states provided for their clerks, like South Carolina especially, seeing that this was coming. They provided that, yes, the clerk does not have to sign the dang certificate. They pay their fee, and they get their certificate, and they go away, and they get whoever clergy will sign it or whatever. But, they didn't. Kentucky failed their clerks, and Kim Davis was not the only one. There's like four of them that refused to sign these, under their rights of conscience. And that's enshrined in the constitutions for Kentucky, the first two. And it also has a phrase there that says you cannot alter this. This is an unalterable state of Kentucky provision here, Section 10. And so there was a lot of college kids that registered to be in this election, whatever year that was, 2017 or 2018, whatever it was, she got, I think it was 2018, she got voted out. And they're on the inactive list. They moved out of town, and so they're not voting anymore.
Yeah, but somebody is voting. Yeah, but people are. What the Democrats do, they see people on the voter roll that have moved out, and they go, okay, we've got a guy here who's willing to drive to six different precincts and vote six times with those names.
Exactly.
And the
trick is to make it look good. Oh, just say he just won by, 0.4% or 5%. So it's believable margin of victory.
To summarize the bigger picture, our enemies, and Donald Trump's got it right. They are the enemy. We have an enemy, folks. Now, Americans, when I was a boy, we didn't think this way. We didn't have an enemy inside of America. We thought of, like the Communist Party, the enemy within, some tiny little group of people that, supposedly the FBI has them cornered, right? Dream on, Kelso. But now we do have an enemy. We have a whole entire people in our midst, who have power equal to ours, and they are our enemy. But they operate by different rules. We're like people, we're in a martial arts match where they can do anything, any blow, any punch, and they can bring weapons into the ring. Okay. And we have to come in and we have heavy boxing gloves on. We can't kick. We can't bite. No weapons. And we can only hit certain parts of their body. That's the kind of rules. And we've got to stop being in the ring. And we're getting beaten again and again and again because we're standing there with our boxing gloves and they just whip out their lead pipe and give us a whack on, across our head. And that's what they do over and again. Nothing. There's nothing they won't do.
Yes. On the women doing the math thing, right in with what you're saying here, there are a lot of very, whatever, modest and peaceful Muslims, and they're in a lot of, you know, cultures out and about through the world, but they're, you know, they're not a majority necessarily, or they haven't lived in a majority Islam culture. But the problem is, and they are doing this, they're, you know, they have multiple wives, some of them, and they breed a lot of youngsters. When they become the majority, the imams and the provisions there are such that they have to join the jihad or they're subject to the death penalty. So when Islam becomes a majority in these countries, and of Dr. Bill Warner, who was an astrophysics professor at Tennessee State University, after September 11th, his academic career kind of went sideways. You can see his materials. And Numbers USA, you can look at their materials from whatever it is, 9 years ago in 2010, 2011, gumballs and immigration.
Yes, and you've got it all.
Immigration off the charts.
Mike, you've got it all. And going, backing up to the big point, why is what Mike says so important, folks? Because they're building more mosques in France than churches. There are more Muslim students in the primary grades of France than but the point is this: in Britain, there Pakistanis have taken over entire cities of Britain, and that's where they're running their rape rings, where they rape white girls and by the thousands, and,
all right,
and the police. Yeah, go ahead.
1960 America. I know a guy. It wasn't Iowa, but pretend it's Iowa. In the southwest quadrant of Iowa, he was the bag man, and he's kind of racially vague in his appearance. He was the bag man carrying the money to the network of informants at hundreds of mosques. In just for instance, it's not Iowa, but we'll, you know, picture Iowa in the south. Southwest quadrant of that state having hundreds of mosques in it in 1960. That's how long our government has been watching these Muslims, okay? And how much money have they wasted, you know,
with
informants?
Yeah. Well, good point, Mike. But the larger picture being that we as a people, Mike, just talking to you on the phone, you know, I mean, you know, people send all kinds of signals. I know you're like me. I know if you knocked on my front door right now, I'd open the door. A guy looks like me. Okay.
Well, we all younger, hang on. And I'm part Cherokee, but.
Well, we all. No, oh yeah, Grandma said, "Well, we're part Cherokee." You know how many scores of millions of people have been told by Grandma that the great great grandpa was a Comanche, you know. No. And the interesting thing, by the way, go have your DNA tested, Mike. If you're part Indian, that's fine. You know, I'm not, but the point is, most people who think they're part Indian or part anything, most white people, they're not. And the proof of that is go to ancestry.com or any of the other.
Genetic astrology, you know.
No, hang on. Hang on. This is, you can look it up. It's well known.
I have looked it up. I've talked to people about it that were told they were part the Cherokee.
No, but they're not. But hang on. But Mike.
And they tested out in several versions of this, like even one that specializes to try to find out what tribe they are. And they were told that you ain't got a scrap of DNA, and so they ended up giving away all their DNA profile to these big corporations that now have you over a barrel because they've got your DNA and all the marker genes out to second cousins.
Okay, I understand. Okay, so you're averse to genetic testing, but let me just say this: I'm not. And the reason is what you're going to find out, folks. and I could say this is about you, Mike, when you'd have your genes tested, you know, you get your, you're going to find out, first of all, you're not an Indian, because 99% of the people who think they're they're part Indian are not. It's just family lore. It's just like you had a great grandpa who was out in the farm field too much and he got nut brown, or he had high cheekbones, you know, or he had black hair. And so people said, well, that's our Indian. No, it's not an Indian. And I'm not saying there's anything wrong with being an Indian. I'm just saying all these white people would think they're Indians. You're not. You're not. Go get your DNA tested. You'll find out you're not. You're English, you're French, you're German, you're, you know, Irish. Trust me. But go ahead. Like Pocahontas. Pocahontas had her DNA tested. Yeah, the engineer breaks in. Pocahontas, who, by the way, I think I'm a cousin of Pocahontas because she's descended from pilgrims, and so am I. So the
I value my medical privacy, and I'm not going to tell you how I know that I'm part, Cherokee. Besides the, without going into DNA, there's ways to know this besides, you know, going back into courthouse records and stuff like that.
And it's besides
my family.
Point.
Part of my family has been in the Mormon Church for a long time, and I don't ascribe to a lot of their doctrine. I think is fraud. But the women are going to have to do the math here, and this decades of since at least 1970, only having 2.2 children is starting to really become a problem across all ethnic groups. You just look at the numbers, USA guy, right. and he makes this point. It doesn't matter your ethnic background. If you're an American and you've been here, if you care about your grandchildren, you got to have more than two babies. I mean, it's just not going to work. And so the fertility rate is plummeting. There's like 30-some percent of men are infertile. So, unfortunately, women are maybe going to have to start sharing men in order to make enough babies, and they're going to have to be willing to have 8 to 10 babies to get back to where we were prior to 1970. Otherwise, the UN had a report in 2012 that said we need to bring in 10 million legal immigrants a year to balance the population back to what it was in 1995, and with 1.1 billion people by 2050. Now, who wants that?
Yeah, exactly. And by the way, you raised so many good points, you know, Mike. Well, that was Roy Beck you were talking about at Numbers USA. You're reading the right website. But realize this. We don't have to maintain to maintain our people. Let's say our population, let's say there are 200 million white people in America right now today as we speak. And let's say that population were to drop quite drastically to 150 million over some period of time. That's not fatal. That's not the end of the world. Japan's population is declining, but they're doing something. They're doing what's smart. The Japanese, let's all look over to Japan there. Okay, look to the rising sun. Why will Japan be entirely 100% Japanese 1,000 years from now? Why? I can assert that with total certainty. That Japan will be Japanese, meaning everybody in Japan will be Japanese 1,000 years from now, because they're nationalists. They're nationalists to the core, to the bone. They're born that way. They're raised that way. It's in everything they do. Now, hang on. Let me just tell you, the Japanese are showing how it can be done successfully. Japan is Japanese, and by that they mean ethnically Japanese. So the Japanese don't want anything to do with the Koreans. They don't want anything to do with the Chinese. They're not going to let you, Mike. I'll tell you what: if you went to Japan and tried to get citizenship there, good luck, good luck, and good luck with your children trying to get citizenship there. But my point is this: you don't have to have a. And the reason I make that point about Japan is their population is dropping, but they're still going to be Japanese in 1,000 years, whatever their population is. They're not going to let anybody else run Japan or take it over or occupy it. They don't need to import Koreans or Mexicans or Africans. They're not worried about, well, we got to have a certain population. No, our population's got to be Japanese. That's the answer. We'll be right back, folks. Stay tuned.
Through the dust and the smoke of this man-made hell walked a giant of a man that the miners knew well, grabbed a sagging timber and gave out with a groan, and like a giant oak tree just stood there alone, Big John.
Big John. You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2-KEEP-IT today.
The reviews for Extendivite are amazing. Here are some from Amazon. By Christine, great for heart palpitations. By Anne, before I started using this product, every afternoon, my ankles and my hands would be swollen. That doesn't happen anymore. So if that part of their advertising is true, I have to assume that the rest of it is also. Not to mention that when I had my yearly blood test, only a few weeks after beginning to use this product, my cholesterol had dropped over 30 points. I'm going to continue to take it. By Croc, I love this product. It really works. By Brad, works great, thank you. Tell us your story. Get your Extendivite today. To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets, even with a growing audience every day. RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org, and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcast. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
Wish a buck was still silver. It was back when the country was strong. Back before Elvis and before the Vietnam War came along. Before the Beatles and yesterday.
When a man could still work and still would. I can't get down there. he's an octave below me there. Thank you, Merle. And, you know, I was just mentioning, you know, I leave so many ideas incomplete and I, on this show. Here's one I just realized while we were talking there with Mike in Kentucky. And I don't know if Mike is still there or not.
But I don't know what happened.
Okay, Mike. I mentioned Japan is an example of nationalism. And then earlier I was talking about Rich Lowry, and I never finished the point. Rich Lowry is the former never-Trumper editor of National Review magazine, an important magazine at one time, less so now, but maybe he'll bring it back, and I'll tell you why in a moment. National Review, founded by William F. Buckley. We can talk about him some other time. But Buckley personally selected Rich Lowry as his editor in 1997. Rich Lowry was only 29 years old. He had a BA from University of Virginia. He's a brilliant guy. He's 51 now. He kind of looks like he's 31, young-looking guy. And I'm going to tell you about Rich Lowry, and it's good news in just a moment. His whole magazine in 2016 went all in against Donald Trump. All the columnists, they had a whole issue, why we're against Trump. They went so neocon, they went so rhino, it was disgusting. And among those rhinos was my old high school classmate, Michael Medved. We'll talk about him some other time. He's a classic Republican in name only, a classic neocon. One of the founding neocons, as a matter of fact, Mike Medved. But here's the good news about Rich Lowry. I was shocked to see him on TV interviewing about his new book entitled Nationalism. And let me give you the subtitle, which is good too. Nationalism, the case for nationalism, how it made us powerful, united, and free. And Lowry said it was Trump's inaugural speech that woke me up to the fact that the nationalism that Donald Trump advocates is right. It's what we conservatives should be believing in instead of the rhino neocon crap that the rhinos have purveyed. People like Mitt Romney and Michael Medved and, John McCain. But this is a hopeful sign. Because it means Donald Trump is winning not just political battles, he's winning moral and intellectual battles. He was able to take a great mind, that of Rich Lowry, the editor of National Review, and with one speech, wake him up. And the result, 2.5 years later, is The Case for Nationalism, which I'm going to go buy it. I'm looking at it right now here, the reviews of the book. It's selling well. It's number two in nationalism. I don't know what number one would be. What would be number one in nationalism? Let me look and just see what that is. But now, let me connect one more dot for you folks. Who questioned? What person said one of his huge rallies and in his tweets, he said, I am a nationalist. Yes, Donald Trump. He has said, I am a nationalist. And he's explained what he means by being a nationalist. And that's, was it you, Mike, who just told me, don't forsake support from people who aren't Europeans? Was it you that just said that?
I'm basically saying let's not. Pretend that there's not a lot of other supporters besides white people, because there are.
Yeah, exactly. So how many white Japanese are there? Zero. There's not a single white. No, I mean, if there's a white person.
Occupied Japan was occupied Japan for like 15 years, and there was more than a few liaisons with the with the troops, you know, with the occupying forces. That's just all too common. So, yeah, there's some intermingling there, you know.
Let's set that aside. I would say probably not too much, but let's set that aside. My point is this, is that the Japanese believe in the Trump idea. They love Trump, by the way. And the Japanese are entirely, yes, of course, there are always exceptions, but exceptions only prove the rule. The fact that a few people, some black guy marries some white girl and some Japanese girl marries some American soldier, that's the exception. That's the exception. It proves the rule. Birds of a feather flock together. People want to stay with their own kind. That's what they are. What person doesn't want his children to look like himself? Who would want children that look totally different from you? Nobody of any race. So that's just nature. It's Mother Nature. What was that commercial that said? You can't fool Mother Nature. You can't. And that the reality is always going to come back to that truth. But the Japanese...
Well, we've had decades of cultural corruption, pornography, depicting, you know, cross-racial, it's called miscegenation, as something, you know, exotic and something to be experienced, you know, and all that sort of stuff. When I grew up, this stuff was on display at the flea markets on the open sunshine. Children could walk around
and see it.
Larry Flint right up the river here.
Yeah. But that's the exception that proves the rule. That's the exception that proves the rule. Every, you know, for every situation like that, what does some young girl want to do? She wants to give her mom and her grandma a grandchild and a great-grandchild that looks just like great-grandma and grandma. That's just natural. And I didn't put any race in there. They want to give a child descendants that look like their ancestors. That's nature. But I'm saying nationalism. Rich Lowry is now a nationalist, thanks to Donald Trump, thanks to one speech. And he's the editor of a very important magazine. And he's on national TV saying, I'm a national. Now, that was very bold of the president, because an effort was made. I'm going to get pretty complex here now, and I apologize. An effort to trash Trump was made by equating him, trying to connect him falsely with white nationalism. Donald Trump doesn't have anything at all to do with white nationalism. I've done whole shows on this subject. Some of you go, oh, God, no, Kelso, don't go there. Donald Trump was not elected by white nationalists. Okay, white nationalists were a headache for Donald Trump and really hurt him and cost him a lot of votes. Donald Trump is a nationalist. He loves America. He wants to preserve our civilization. He said that in his speech in Warsaw in, was it July of 2017 in Krasinski Square, that the question is, do we have the will to defend our civilization? When he said our, who did he mean? Our civilization? Just everybody in the world? And that we have one world civilization? No, we have many civilizations in the world. And he said the question is, do we have the will to defend our civilization? That's a nationalist, and that's what Donald Trump is. White nationalism, and I'll just give you the executive short summary, folks, as I know what I'm talking about, is a very, very tiny group of people, and it's actually white national socialism. White national socialism. I know the people, okay? And that tiny, tiny group of people who think Hitler is a good guy are so wrong, and their failure, their movement and the potential... Anybody who likes Hitler is like trying to make a lead balloon fly. Isn't going to happen. But Donald Trump has nothing to do with white nationalism. He is a nationalist. Why am I making that point? It was so bold of him. He is such a ballsy guy to say, right when they're trying to smear him with being a white nationalist falsely, you know, he might very, very reasonably say, you know what, I can't use that word nationalist because it sounds like, you know, but it's going to make people automatically think of white nationalist. He is gutsy. He says the truth. I'm a nationalist. He's not going to pussyfoot around and try to find some other substitute word. He's a nationalist. And what Donald Trump is doing, he's creating a movement, and he's well along in that process. I'm part of it. You're part of it. Everybody who listens to this show is part of that movement of nationalists. And is David Clark, Sheriff David Clark, of former sheriff now of Milwaukee, a black man? Is he a nationalist? You bet. Ben Carson, black cabinet member of Donald Trump, is he a nationalist? You bet. And are all those Japanese people nationalists? You bet. And that's the right way, the natural way for the world to go. You can't fool Mother Nature. And if you're going to try to create a kumbaya rainbow nation where it's everybody, come on in, everybody, beer's free, it's all on me, block party, no, doesn't work. That goes to hell in a handcart really fast, and that's what we're experiencing.
We have common values of liberty across ethnic groups for people that understand, you know, the great experiment that is America. It's not about, it was, you know, a melting pot. Not what it's become. Well, there's all these self-segregated, you know, urbanite neighborhoods of Koreans, and there's 30, there's something crazy like 50 million people that don't speak English at all. not even just on a monthly basis. They just don't even know.
Mike, you just raised a real important point. So, again, pardon me, I'm such a bad interrupter. So many radio talk show hosts are interrupters. I mean, and it's a good knock that's put on us. We cut people off, we talk over them, you know, we push them around. We're terrible. We're terrible. It's probably why we became talk show hosts. But you just raised a very interesting point. And Rich Lowry, I'll connect it with Rich Lowry, who wrote this new book, Nationalism. He makes this point in his interviews. He says, I used to think America was an idea. He says, now I know it's not. That was never an idea. America is not a conceptual nation. We are a people. Yes, there are some of the parts of our people, you know, we have a black population, you know, that goes back hundreds of years and so on. But that black part of our population is itself also a people. America is not an idea. It's not like, well, we believe in constitutionalism. We believe in the Bill of Rights. And anybody, you know, anybody that believes in a constitution and a Bill of Rights, that makes them an American. Anybody who, raised their right hand and said, you know, I support the Constitution and sworn in as an American citizen, that's an American. No, that's not our people. Our people is literally our blood. Those black people, us white people, I am the blood of my ancestors. I'm not their ideas. I'm not an idea. I'm a guy who's a descendant of Robert the Bruce. It's in my veins. I'm a second cousin to George Washington. You know, I'm a grandson of William the Conqueror. It's in our veins. It's in our blood. That's what we are. We're a people. And accompanying all of that blood are our ways, the way we behave. Like I mentioned, that we're a very nice people. One reason everybody wants to live in every white country is being invaded. Every single one. Why? Oh, we got a caller from Sweden. We'll get to him. And but why? Because we're so damn nice. Well, why are we white people so nice? Well, we inherited it. We were born that way. We can't help it. We come across a scene of somebody, we hand out money. You know, we see somebody by the side of the road who says, you know, I can't make my rent. We stop. We roll down the window and we give them money. We give them 10 bucks, 20 bucks. We are the helper people. Don't try being a roadside beggar in some other civilization, some other culture. They'll run you over. We're the nice people, and everybody's heard about that. They all want to come here and get on the gravy train of the nice people. So
a lot of us are raised with these values, and we don't depart from it, as the Bible says. So
yes, but where did all that come from? Yeah, but where did all that come from? In other words, why did your parents behave that way? And then their parents' parents? Because they read it in a book? No, they were born that way. They were born that way. Your ancestors were really nice people. And no matter how much they read or didn't read the Bible, those were really nice people. They were born that way. That's what we are.
I've been around the people that aren't raised properly, and they are not nice. So you can find the exceptions.
I
think
it has
to do a lot with their home life too.
Well, I'll tell you this:
Scotch, Irish, you know, whatever.
Let's go back to those Vikings. If you, Mike, could get into a time machine and go back, this is going to be an interesting little thing. And then we'll get to our Viking in Sweden. He's on the phone, and we got Chris near Las Vegas. But Mike, let me just say this about your ancestry and about where all this our civilization comes from. It doesn't come from a book, any book. If you were to get into a time machine and go back 2,000 years before Christ, before Christianity, and most of the Christianity of which you're a part, didn't come to your part of the world until about 1,000 years ago. Like most of Scandinavia was still pagan, 1,000 or maybe 1,200 years ago. It was converted to Christianity only 1,000 years ago. It took 1,000 years for that Christianity to go from Paul of Tarsus to Oslo, Norway. It took 1,000 years to make that trip. But I assure you that if you were to go in that time machine 2,000 years ago in Oslo or Edinburgh or, Warsaw, Poland, that the people there looked like you, They acted like you, and they were just as nice as you. They were wonderful Adamic, people.
Adamic man is able to experience and show shame.
Well, okay. All right, but my point
flush
is
in the face. So
but those people.
That's a racial trait. I mean,
well,
you have to.
Okay, but I'm saying those people, okay, who worship Thor, if they worshiped at all, okay, their ritual, their rite, their tribe would involve Thor and Odin and, Valkyries and so on. Those are your ancestors. That's your nationalist past. And I assure you, they look just exactly like you. They were you. And they acted like you, and the values that you so nobly uphold, wherever you are there in Kentucky, they were doing the same thing wherever they were. Mike, I love you, brother. I love you, brother. Thank you. We got a break, and then I got to get two more callers in.
Yeah.
Thanks.
Okay. I'll just say there's been Caucasian top people, redheads and stuff, found mummified in Egypt. So
there's a whole show.
They weren't just limited to Norway and Scandinavia.
That's right.
You're right.
You are. That's another
show. Talk to you later.
All right. Bye-bye. Let's go to break.
Dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds, up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AROutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magpul clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AROutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AROutfitting.com.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll-free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Hey, we're back, folks. I love that driving music. Let's see here. Well, I've got a couple callers I've hung up. I'll tell you what, Chris near Las Vegas, his ear must be the size of a cauliflower right now. And Sebastian in Sweden, don't go away. Chris, you're on the air. If he's still there.
There you go, James. I got you now. Thank you very much.
Okay, have you got ice on that ear?
No. I don't hold the cell phone up next to my ear. I don't wish to microwave my brain, so I don't do that. But nevertheless, I wanted to correct a little bit of your earlier commentary about the group that was murdered in Mexico.
Yes.
There's some very troubling aspects to that situation. First and foremost, it was not Mormons. It was a splinter sect of Orville LeBaron. A polygamous sect down in Mexico to escape the tyranny of the American government and the suppression of their practices. However, it appears there are some strong suggestions that one of the mothers that was there, I think she was like 34, had some strong attachments, or at least a cursory attachment, to the NextVM cult, which we know is very, very diabolical, and that goes to some of
Chris, hang on. That sounds like a whole show with the topic you're bringing up there. And I want to just back up, since I don't have any on the ground expertise on what happened there. But just to say this, of course, the Mormon Church commented that these people are not currently members of the Mormon Church. So, you know, various polygamist groups of Mormons have been expelled, so to speak, formally from the Mormon Church and so on. But they're Mormons. Okay, they're so like the nationalism I described earlier. They're the children of Mormons, who are the children of Mormons, and they are from the same tribe of people that walked across the United States from Nauvoo, Illinois, to Salt Lake City. You know, a very wonderful group of our people, and you can find in any group of people. No, people can go on and on about, you know, something about this or that Baptist church and this or that Catholic church. And so bad things and so on. Scandal has occurred in every church. But let me just say this in general, okay? Chris, I'm backing way up here. And just to say that the people who go out and like these in this part of North Dakota here, we have Hutterites, okay? Hutterites are here. And they're wonderful, wonderful people. Some of their beliefs are different from the average American, and their ways are a little different. But when you see them and you talk to them, and by the way, they still speak German. You know, I can practice my German on them in the supermarket.
Just perceive my comments. I wasn't attacking any particular group. I was only pointing out information that's been revealed. However,
Chris, I don't want to get caught up in the weeds or tangled, you know, get tangled in the undergrowth. The point is, those are babies. Those are babies in the backseat of those cars. The people that killed them are savages. And the people raising those little children are wonderful people.
Yeah.
They're wonderful people. I don't want to mix it up here. That's real clear. Donald Trump's indignation at that murder was very, very well founded. And we've run out of time, and I've left Sebastian in Sweden hanging. I apologize, Sebastian. It's my fault. Mea culpa. And I didn't give you enough time, Chris, to develop your points. Everybody, please come back at tomorrow night's show. Sebastian, if you can, tomorrow night, 9 to 10 p.m. Eastern time. We'll be back in the Trump Clubhouse. See you then.
Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets. Even with a growing audience every day, RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcast.
Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
This is RBN, the Republic.